good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a dreary, dreary, dreary Monday, May the 9th, 2016, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, joined in studio by Terry Tackett as we get ready for the big week here at WWGH Radio. 17th annual Night of a Thousand Stars, right along with the first spring brawl, take place on Thursday night. Terry will fill you in on those in just a second, but I do want to let you know, for all the people out there in the listening audience, that Tony Atlas, Mr. USA, WWE Hall of Famer, and Thunderbolt Patterson will be live in studio on the radio Thursday, this coming Thursday, from 12:10 till 3 p.m. on this program. That's going to be a lot of fun. Terry, before we get started, run down the big festivities Thursday night that people are not going to want to miss.
Absolutely. The 17th annual Night of a Thousand Stars kicks everything off Thursday, May 12th at 7 o'clock at the Tri-Rivers Career Center located at 2222 Marion Mount Gilead Road. Tickets are only $10. The award recipients this year, we're going to do the Humanitarian Award, is going to go to legendary pro wrestler Thunderbolt Patterson. The Pioneer Award will be three-time Mr. USA Tony Atlas. Performing that evening will be the Martha Dowse Dance Studio, the Dance Factory, and the Lasekny Brothers. You can purchase your tickets by calling 383-9944 or coming to the studios here at the Marion Center Mall located next to Crafter's Coop Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Then at 8 o'clock, the Classic Championship Wrestling presents Spring Brawl. That's Thursday, May 12th, 8 o'clock at the Tri-Rivers Career Center as well, located at 2222 Marion Mount Gilead Road. You'll see Acting Commissioner Thunderbolt Patterson. You'll see a CCW title match, Bobo Brazil Jr. against the Great Akuma. You'll see Mr. USA Tony Atlas versus Slim Trimmons with Pinky Shortcake. That's the first ever Twinkie match. The loser gets a Twinkie shoved down their throat. You'll see a Lockdown versus GDT and with Miss Kimberly and Mr. 90210 versus Demon Khan. Once again, purchase tickets by calling 740-383-9944 or coming to the studios here at the WWGH 107.1 FM studios located in the Marion Center Mall next to Crafter's Coop Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Now, I do have an update. The okay. Mr. 90210 match and Demon Khan match, gone.
Gone. Oh.
They got into a fight.
Okay.
They saw each other crossing the street.
Okay.
They beat the tar out of each other. They both have been suspended by Sean Kraft and the executive board. They're both out that night.
Oh. Okay, so.
That's your buddy.
Yeah.
He's already taken a fall, a great fall.
Okay.
Now, in its place, though, we do want to give the fans another great match. So in its place, the Marine Steven Messenger has been added to the card to face Demon Khan's buddy, Sin.
Oh, okay.
So another great match added to that card. So no Mr. 90210 taking on Demon Khan. It will be Sin versus the Marine Steven Messenger.
Okay.
And this Marine, he is a bubble off. I mean, I support the troops. I support everybody involved with that whole effort. But this Marine, he seems to be sympathizing with the other side. It's a very bizarre thing.
For some reason.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah. I've noticed that. I didn't know what the correlation between the...
Maybe Sin will put the kibosh on him that night.
He could.
I think he's going out there to defend America's honor, and maybe he should.
Sure.
But so that'll be another great match.
Another great additional match.
Now let's run them down. Messenger versus Sin, who's got the upper hand?
Well, as much as I just don't know a lot about Sin, and I have seen this Marine Messenger in action before, and he's definitely, you know, quite...
He cold-cocked you a couple years ago.
He's quite the crazy man, so I'd have to take him.
The Marine.
Yeah.
Even though he's dirty to the core.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Okay, let's go to the next match here. Lockdown with his manager, Keith Ryan, going one-on-one with GDT, with his manager, Main Squeeze, really, Miss Kimberly.
Well, I think she's going to play a big role in this, is it? You know, because it seems like Lockdown's fascinated with this girl for some reason.
But is that why he's taken up the managerial expertise of Keith Ryan to keep him on track?
Well, it could be, but you never know with Lockdown what kind of weapons you'll see. You know, I mean, he can't.
Well, but is
anything.
That is that going to float with Commissioner Thunderbolt Patterson?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I'm sure he'll be checked thoroughly before.
Referee Ron will check him thoroughly.
Oh, gosh.
No more. Okay, moving on then. We got the first ever Twinkie match. That's going to be worth the price of admission itself right there.
Yeah.
You've got Slim Trimmons with Pinky Shortcake going one-on-one with Mr. USA, the WWE Hall of Famer Tony Atlas. Loser gets a Twinkie shoved down their throat.
Well, by the looks of Tony Atlas, obviously he's not going to get a Twinkie shoved down
their throat. Now, how do you know, though?
There's no...
You don't think Slim Trimmons has a plan?
Well, I'm sure he does.
The diet guru?
Yeah, but I think he's going to need an army.
Well, he's got Pinky Shortcake.
Because Tony Atlas still can get, you know, can get it done, so...
But will Pinky Shortcake play into this?
Well, I mean, what you going to do, bite his ankles, maybe? Or?
We've got a lot of managers that night, and I'm not a fan of managers. Pinky Shortcake, Keith Ryan, Miss Kimberly.
Yeah.
These people need to be barred from ringside as far as I'm concerned.
Well, maybe Thunderbolt Patterson could...
He might do it. Now, in the main event, though, this is the one we're all waiting for. CCW Championship match. Bobo Brazil Jr. puts the title on the line against the man from the land, from the rising sun, from Japan, currently lives in Hong Kong.
Oh.
Yes, the great Akuma.
See, don't confuse
them. No, we don't want to do that.
Wow. What can you say about this match?
This is the one you've got your peanut buttery fingers all in.
It's going to be high-flying, and I just don't know that Bobo has what it takes to get it done in this
Are
match.
You serious? In the history of... How do you think he won this title? You think he got out of a Cracker Jack box?
No. I mean, he fought for it. There's no doubt.
Let's talk about the people he's defeated.
Okay.
Ox Baker.
Sure.
The Legend.
Yeah.
Lockdown.
Okay.
Okay.
Outlaw Jack Hansen.
Outlaw Jack Hansen. He hit him so hard, we haven't seen him since. 2 years later, we still haven't seen him.
No sign of him.
No sign.
Yeah.
Toe-to-toe with the Butcher Beast.
Yeah.
Mr. Hughes.
Yeah.
Uncle Hogg, 500 pounds.
Then Kamala Jr.
Kamala Jr. How can you say that this man...
Well, I think if you look at all those different styles, I don't think that any of those styles are the same style that he's going to see with this great Akuma.
And what style is that? Greasing the president's palm?
Oh, no.
I mean, oh, I would say
I
yes.
Mean, you know, with the kicks and the chops.
The kicks and the chops.
You know.
And Thunderbolt Patterson has told me and assured me many times that he is not going to allow that mist that he's won many a match with to go on. We're not having a title change hands because this guy blows some kind of funky mist in people's face.
Well, I don't know. How can you stop it, I guess, would be...
Well, you can't stop it, but referee Ron can certainly disqualify him as soon as it happens.
You just said the magic words, referee Ron. That's all you need to say.
Why are you always on top of referee Ron?
The guy... How can I say this and be politically correct? The guy can't walk and chew bubble gum at the same time.
Where did this feud originate? I mean, I know you say it was bad calls, but there's more to this. Did he, like, steal your girlfriend in high school or something? There's something going on.
He just has that arrogance about him because, you know, like with the whole Tom Brady thing and the Patriots and the University of Michigan, even though they haven't beat Ohio State, and, you know, he just...
Do you think Thunderbolt can't see? Do you think Thunderbolt's not going to be there looking over...
I think Thunderbolt, just with his age, you know. I
mean, oh, his age.
I don't know if he's...
Maybe we should talk about that with him.
I don't know if he's quite up to, you know, if his vision's still as good as it was when, you know, when he was in the ring. That he can
we could put you in front of him and see how good his vision is.
Well, I mean, of course, I'm not a wrestler or a referee, but...
You don't think he
I
could...
I mean, as far as checking for objects and things, I just don't know, because sometimes you can get, you know, they can slip through the cracks and... You know, and I didn't know if he had cataracts or, you know, or something like, you know, because he's getting up there. That's why I didn't know if he...
He's getting up there.
You know,
I think you should explain this to him, that he's getting up there
with his cataracts
and might not be able...
Like,
you know, there was a gentleman here, about 2 years ago, the living legend Larry Zbyszko, who also served as commissioner, who no longer wrestles, who is not 20 years old anymore. He seemed to take care of law and order pretty well.
Yeah, he handled it pretty well.
But you don't think Thunderbolt can?
Well, like, because I think you said to Magic, where he's about 20 years younger than Thunderbolt.
No, I don't think he is 20 years younger than Thunderbolt.
Well, I don't know. I think Thunderbolt could take care of it. It's just I'm just worried about the entry. You know?
You think the Thunderbolt Patterson ain't got one or two good shots left in him?
He says he does, but I mean, you know.
You have your doubts.
Well, I just don't know if in a confrontational situation.
Do you think this could have anything to do with the fact that you have cited hook, line, and sinker? Palm has been greased. You've taken the bribes from the great Akuma.
Oh, I haven't taken any bribes.
Oh, let's get the lie detector.
He showered me with some gifts.
Call the polygraph. Call the polygraph.
He's given me some gifts, but I mean, I haven't taken.
What gifts?
Well, I have some nice gifts at home that he.
That's a bribe. Sent me. What do you call that? That's a bribe.
You've been bribed. No, he's just a nice young man, and
you might end up being barred from the arena that night.
Title shot. Well,
wouldn't be the first time.
We'll see what happens here.
Wouldn't be the first time. So now, what do I get next week if Akuma goes down in defeat?
What do you get?
Yeah, we'll be hearing you sing the blues next week. Well, but you've sung those before.
Yeah, well, now we have our own station, so I can pick some blues.
We do have a blues station. Yes, you'll be able to listen to that all weekend after the defeat goes down on Thursday night. But have you ever seen a wrestling card like this top to bottom?
I really haven't, honestly. I mean, this is... I'm at a loss for words here. It's just a great card from top to bottom, you know. I mean, Mr. USA, Tony Atlas, and Thunderbolt Patterson, their careers speak for themselves, and a lot of upcoming superstars. I mean, Bobo Brazil Jr. is a superstar, and, you know.
Not a dud in the bunch.
No. And I think that's really, that's what I like about it, is that we really go out, I think, and get the top-notch.
Talent.
Top-notch talent, you know. And, I mean, everyone just from top to bottom is...
How many times can you walk in Marion, Ohio, out to Tri-Rivers and see a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
I'm 3 days from now, just a short 3 days, Thursday at this time, I'm going to be sitting here with Thunderbolt and Tony Atlas. That could be hands-free. Who knows? That could be freewheeling. An extended version of this program that day from 12:10 to 3 o'clock.
Well, you know, Tony's got off the chain sometimes.
Well, what about Thunderbolt?
Oh, yeah.
Is Thunderbolt Patterson not the greatest talker in the history of professional wrestling?
In my opinion, yeah, but if not, he's definitely in the top two. I mean, I don't know who you'd put. I heard an argument one day. They were comparing the top talkers, and a lot of people said Ric Flair, and a lot of people said, you know. And I typed in Oxbaker, and then, oh, we forgot about Oxbaker, you know. And
Dusty Rhodes?
Dusty Rhodes is very good, you know. Then I kept scrolling down and never seen Thunderbolt's name, so then I typed in Thunderbolt Patterson, and oh, we forgot him.
There were just certain people who had a way,
yeah,
about handling a microphone.
I'll never forget one of the stories when I was younger. Is I always went to the wrestling matches at the Coliseum, and Thunderbolt Patterson and Ole Anderson were there at the time, and they were the tag team champions, and I got to my little 10 minutes of fame. I got to walk to the ring with them and actually hold their belt for a second, you know, while they took their jacket off. And I just thought that was the coolest.
So you've been with Thunderbolt before. So
that was the coolest thing, yeah.
And what was Thunderbolt like in those days?
Well, he was just he was a mean, tough, you know, rugged.
But you think now age has mellowed him?
I mean, I'm sure he's had a few hip surgeries. Maybe.
I don't think he's had any. I don't think he's had any surgery.
Maybe some knee.
I don't think any of those things have happened.
I don't know. I don't know if he's got it like he did back then.
Well, I tell you what. We're going to talk more about this as the program goes along. But we get into a little contretemps on the exchange on Friday here on WWGH Radio. And I thought we'd get your opinion on this. It all started because I called Social Security an entitlement.
Okay.
People didn't like that.
All right.
Is it?
What else would you call it?
Why, in your opinion, is it an entitlement?
In my opinion, it's an entitlement for all your hard work and everything, you know, during the years, you know, during your years.
But people say it's not an entitlement because you pay into it.
Well, that's true. You pay into it so that you have something to look forward to in your retirement years so you don't have to work, you know, so you don't have to either work as hard or work in...
But my question is, okay, now where does welfare come from? The federal government.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Now, where does the federal government get that money? Taxes. So, if you have worked in your life and you paid taxes, then should you be okay to take welfare because you're just taking your money back out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then is that not an entitlement either? Because I don't know how you have them both ways.
Yeah, that just seems like... I don't know how you could separate the two. I mean, you know, as far as that goes.
I'm not really sure. And then you have to look at things like unemployment insurance. Now, is unemployment insurance not controlled by the state government?
It is.
Doesn't that come from money that employers have paid in and employers took that from your check?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, where do the employers get that money that they send to the unemployment office? They take it out of your
paycheck. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, so
just in situations Whereas if, you know, the company would close, you know, or something like that. I mean, you know, or heaven forbid you get fired or something like that.
Whatever would happen.
You know, yeah, yeah.
And if you have an opinion on this, feel free to weigh in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, I think it's people living longer.
Yes.
That's also an issue, too. People are living to be 90 now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say you started working when you were 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you retired at 65. Okay, what is that? How many years is that? 47 years.
Yeah.
47 years,
yeah.
You paid in. Now, you're not giving them your whole check.
No.
You get, what is it? About 10 to 12%. Okay,
like
10
that,
to 12% for 47 years. Okay, from 65 to 90, how many years is that?
25.
25 years. 25 years, that's your total check,
mm-hmm,
every week.
Yeah.
You know, you're not paying taxes on that anymore.
That's right.
So for 25 years, don't you think you would take more out than that 10 or 12% than you gave in during those 47 years?
Yeah. You would think so. I mean, it's, I don't know. Like I say, I don't know what else. It's just, I'm still just trying to think of, I don't know what else you would call it, you know, but.
I mean, yes, you do pay in some of that money, but the federal government also adds some money to,
sure,
that.
Sure, sure. That, which constitutes what those yearly raises every year, the 2%, 3%.
Well, what about, okay, when you're 18, you might have been getting paid what? Let's say you get paid $4 an hour. Okay, by the time you're 90 and still collecting that Social Security check, minimum wage is probably $15 an hour, and they're paying you those cost of living increases. Now, I hear there was not a cost of living raise this past year,
right?
But there are most years.
Yeah, a lot of the big joke was the reason why there was no increase this year was because of the price of gas was low.
Yeah, well, and what about assisted living? Which is totally based on your income.
Yeah.
Now, is that a handout? Is that an entitlement?
No.
I don't know. It's a very strange thing. I think the reason that people don't want to call Social Security an entitlement is because I think a lot of people pride themselves on never having to use the federal government for help. But the truth of the matter is there's a lot of things other than welfare that we're using the federal government for. One of those things would be like the Homestead Act for senior citizens on their property taxes.
That's a great program, yeah.
But that's an entitlement.
Sure, yeah.
For a certain income group.
Yeah.
Being a certain age.
The lady prior to me buying the house, she got that homestead.
The Veterans Administration, is that not an entitlement?
Right.
They deserve it. I am not saying they don't deserve it, but we provide that for people who fought for this country.
Sure.
Out of federal funds.
It's a place for them to go, not have to pay. You know,
they can get VA loans.
Yeah.
They don't have to pay for hospitals if they go to VA hospitals. They don't have to pay for doctors if they go to VA doctors. And some of them get government checks for the rest of their life if they're injured.
That's right.
So is that not an entitlement that you, yep, can count on if something bad happens?
Sure.
Why? So I guess the big question is why is the VA, the Social Security Administration, looked, and the Homestead Act, looked upon differently than welfare? And I never hear anybody campaigning to get rid of Social Security and the VA and those groups.
Yeah. You're right. They always want to structure have different hoops and things for people to jump through to get welfare and things, but they never want to.
Yeah.
It seems like they never. Is it because maybe the veterans? Maybe they care more about the veterans.
Well, and the veterans deserve it, and the senior citizens deserve it who've worked,
yeah,
all their life.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that at all. But what I'm saying is I think what's interesting is if the government. The government does not give welfare just out of the kindness of their heart, okay? The reason the government gives welfare is it's an economy starter.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth of the matter is, if these people did not have a food card, if these people had no income at all, would they be out shopping? Would they be going to the grocery store? Would they be going and buying clothes and things? Probably not. If you go in and you use the food card or you do welfare, don't they still charge you tax on that?
Sure.
So yeah. Isn't it going back to the same place it came from?
Absolutely.
Anyway?
Yeah, it's a big circle. Is what, you know.
Except if you're a small business and you use your money there, look what you're doing.
Yeah. Like I say, that whole program, I've just kind of never really understood. You know, my mom has been sick, of course, and she had a meeting with a lady at my house who was on the senior board there, and she told my mom there's all sorts of programs for seniors that some people know about, some people don't know about.
Oh.
And my mom was leery about signing up for these programs because she thought everything was income-based, that she wasn't going to be eligible, which was not true.
No. A lot of stuff is just...
They said it was due to the senior levy that passed.
That's very good.
So now, this coming week here, I think we're going to take her and sign her up on a few of these programs that she's eligible for.
And that's great. But now see, aside from, let's say, okay, Social Security benefits, and not to mention, let's throw Medicare in there.
Yep.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Because I know, once you get to a certain age, you're going to the doctor more. Now, Medicare, they don't even take out 12% for that. They're probably taking out 5%, maybe 4% of your paycheck. Now, do you really think that's covering your hospital bills and your senior life?
Yeah.
I mean, is there any way possible going on?
I mean, I've heard some of the stuff some of the surgeries and stuff that people have had, you know, the Medicare...
$30,000, $40,000, $100,000. What is, you know, a lot of seniors are having open heart surgery.
Sure.
What is that, $80,000?
Yeah.
And the recovery, the nursing home stay, the rehabilitation, seniors don't pay a dime.
I had a gentleman the other day at work, you know, we were talking, and he's a heavier guy, and he told me that he was eligible for Medicare in a week or two, and they were setting up his surgery. He was going to have weight loss surgery paid for by Medicare.
Exactly.
And I know that can't be cheap.
You know, and I think that that's a wonderful thing that in the United States of America we're able to do that, but why don't people look at that as a government entitlement?
Right. That's the, you know, I don't know.
If somebody can answer this, please chime in. This is not a one-sided conversation.
Right.
It certainly wasn't last Friday. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Since last we talked, your friend Donald Trump has clinched the nomination. The words we thought we would never say. Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for President of the United States.
It is a dark day for this country.
You think?
I don't know. And of course, you hear from everyone. Well, you know, I'd love to have him negotiate with this, you know. But I'm thinking the other day, I'm thinking, what if this guy acts the way he does with a trigger finger over in Korea? You know, I mean, the guy's just itching to drop a bomb over here anyway. And I mean, the first time you call that guy dumb or stupid or whatever.
Well, let's dial this back. Not even if he'd be elected president. What does it say that he got the Republican nomination? No contested convention. 17 people in that field when it started.
Yeah.
Governors, families of former presidents, dynasties, women, the man who shut down the government, this Marco Rubio who was supposed to be the new great thing. Our Governor Kasich, what happened?
It just seemed like the party was never really united from the start.
But why was Donald Trump able to do it?
He was just able to tear him apart more at the threads.
But he could systematically pick them.
Yeah.
I mean, he could just grab a hold of somebody, shake them like a dog, and that's it.
Yeah. And then afterwards, they were so shook up, you know.
It was over for him. And look at the, I had a list here last week, but Jeb, or let's start this way. The two only living past Republican presidents, George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush, have both said they will not attend the Republican convention and they will not endorse Donald Trump. John McCain, who was the presidential nominee in 2008, says he will not attend the convention. He will not endorse Donald Trump. Mitt Romney, the 2012 Republican nominee, says he will not attend the convention. He will not endorse Donald Trump and he will not vote for Donald Trump. Speaker Paul Ryan of the Republican House said last week he's not made up his mind yet on if he's going to, he's not ready yet to endorse Donald Trump.
I seen a thing on him that said that Donald Trump's first act was he wants to try to get him unseat Paul Ryan.
Well, and then Bob Dole, who ran in 96 for president, long-serving person, he has said, I'm going to go to the convention, but I will not endorse Donald Trump. How can he when nobody in that party will support him? Because I'll guarantee you Ted Cruz is not going to support him.
No.
Too much bad blood.
You think Chris Christie?
He might. He might.
Dr. Watson?
Dr. Carson, yeah, he
or
will.
Dr. Carson.
Dr.
Anderson.
Watson?
Jeez.
I didn't know he was running. Was he the 18th? Do you think Fiorina will?
Ooh,
he went after her face.
Yeah, oh, God, he took some pretty bad shots at her.
What about, I don't think.
What about Huckabee?
Huckabee, who knows? Jeb Bush says no dice.
No dice.
How can you?
Rick Perry probably no.
Rick Perry endorsed him.
He did
already.
Endorse him.
Yeah,
oh.
I think Rick Perry just
they're
got
kind of almost cut from the same cloth.
I think he had to do what he had to do. But now here's another interesting thing that came up last week. We've been called on this station now Yellow Dog Democrats.
Yellow Dog Democrats.
Yeah.
Okay.
That we would vote for a yellow dog before we'd vote for anything else.
Oh. Okay.
You know.
Well, if the yellow dog was smarter than some of the candidates, absolutely.
But I don't think we're that biased. I really don't.
No, no, no.
I really can't see that.
I look at it this way, and this is the honest to God truth. We have open invitations always, am I right on this, to both parties.
Now, Charlie Evers did admit last Friday that he's Democrat. Marge Hazlett admitted she's a Democrat. Marianne Michaels has admitted she's a Democrat. I don't think people know what party that I support. I mean, I will say when Hillary gives a great speech, I commended all of those people who stood behind their morals last week against Donald Trump. I commend Speaker Paul Ryan. I commend George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush. I commend John McCain. I commend Bob Dole. I commend Mitt Romney, because they are standing behind their principle with Donald Trump rather than putting the party first, which a lot of times they do. They are saying, this guy, I don't care if he's our nominee, he's not what we stand
Absolutely.
For. And the irony of this whole thing is, this is the party of Abraham Lincoln. This is the party of Dwight Eisenhower.
Do you think that now with this deal, with Donald Trump getting the endorsement, that the party now will change their outlook on what they stand for now?
No, because I don't think Donald Trump represents the party. I think they will distance themselves as far from him as they can. If he loses...
No, but let me phrase it this way. To be successful in the future, do you think that the GOP will have to restructure their...
No, because here's going to be the problem heading into the main election. He has to win... See, the way the Republican model is set up, if you look at it, the Republicans have to win Florida, Ohio, and Wisconsin. Because... Because the Democrats always win California and New York. So they get a lot of
electoral votes.
And along the East Coast, they usually win all those. So the Republicans are put in a precarious position. I mean, they do win Texas. But they've got to win Wisconsin. They've got to win Ohio. They've got to win Florida. Or at least two out of the three to win the election. They've got to do that. Call. Hey, you're live on WWGH Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you yellow dogs doing?
Oh, here we go. The man who coined the phrase on this program, yellow dog Democrat.
No, that's an old phrase.
But you coined it for us.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Say, you know the real damage to the Republican Party, with Trump in there, they're probably dead meat for 30 years. The reason I say that is that the biggest thing that's going to come out of this is who gets sent to the Supreme Court.
That's true, but you know what's interesting to me is that what I was going through right there as you called in, that you've got to win two out of the three states. As a Republican, you've got to win Wisconsin, Ohio, and Florida are all in play. As a Republican, you've got to win two. Here's Donald Trump's problem in general. He might win Ohio, and he might win Wisconsin. He ain't winning Florida because there's too many Latinos in Florida. So that being said, write Florida off. Now then his problem becomes there are Republican strongholds like Arizona that he could lose because of the Latino population, and even Texas that he could lose because of the Latino population, and the fact that he beat up and down Cruz in the bushes. So... he could even win all three, which he's not winning Florida. His path to the presidency, I just don't see.
I don't either. I don't think he's got a chance at all.
And,
again, he's ruined the party. A lot of the stuff that's going to come about after the... and it could very well be that Obama could be the next Supreme Court member. But it's unlikely. It doesn't pay nearly enough for Obama.
Well, it'll be interesting because if Hillary is elected, what you got to say is Obama could be, she's going to make a Supreme court choice right off the bat. Mm-hmm. It could be Obama. It really could be, or she'll just take his nominee, Merrick, and push him through, which will make the court more liberal than it has been in years and years and years. And also, she would be president during the 100-year anniversary of women getting the right to vote, which is kind of ironic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be an interesting time, that's for certain.
Yeah, and again, the one key issue there that the Republicans want to, well, more than one, Obamacare, of course, they want to get that. I think it's a bad, bad move. They also want to go after Roe versus Wade. Now, that's, you know, that's the abortion thing. Myself, I'm with them on that, simply because I don't think that a woman's right to make that choice supersedes the birth of a human being.
I think that all decides for people on when human life is conceived. I think what the sticky part people are getting into now is if you made it illegal, is that going to stop people from doing it? No. And you know, at one point in my career, I interviewed the doctor, the Sarah Weddington, who was the lawyer who argued Roe versus Wade, and I had her on the program, and she said it came down to not so much that it had to be legal. The problem was people were dying in alleys, people were doing this, and nobody was doing anything about it. And that's why it became legal. So it's very interesting.
Well, you know, I think, I imagine 95% of those pregnant women that had that done were not raped. They weren't in a drunken stupor. They just decided, well, it's too much for me. You know?
No, but I think
now there are my own daughter. She's had two pregnancies that had to be aborted.
Right, but
either that or she'd die.
I think the problem is that if you if they outlaw abortion, then I think you've got to up the welfare and you've got to up that, because whether we like it or not, the child does not have a choice. The child's not coming out of the womb getting a job. Yeah. So if you're going to outlaw people doing this, then you can't. Who's going to take care of them?
Newt Gingrich at one time actually proposed that unwanted children go to an orphanage, you know, a government-run orphanage, rather than just kill them.
It'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. Hey, thank you for calling in.
Oh, you want to talk about Social Security?
Oh yeah, we can go back to that for a minute. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, I have to pull my thing out. When you get ready to apply for Social Security, they send you a thing, and I looked at it last week, but I can't find it right now. And it tells you when you started paying into Social Security, the amount every year, and all that. I would say that even though I'm going to be 80, I haven't used up all that I put in there yet.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So they were pulling out 12%. I mean, we don't know what numbers of what you get, but if they pull out 12%, plus what the wages were back then. The wages were just far lower.
Oh, you mentioned $4 an hour. My first wages were under $1 an hour.
Right.
So working on a newspaper in this, the guy that pulls the prints off of the press.
So dollar.
The carriers.
So dollar for dollar, how could you pull back all that?
Well, you didn't pay much then.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So,
but to me, the whole thing isn't really. Social Security are quite different. You know, like I pointed out the other day, it's a pay-forward type of a deal. What I paid in is not for me. It was just to get some money for my grandfather's, my father.
Right, and I think the issue right now is that the generation paying into it now, the generation ahead of them was much larger. In your case, your generation was much larger than the generation ahead of you, so it was a fine plan then. But now, the generation behind it can't sustain that bulge in the python.
Oh, you're talking to millennials?
And also the fact
I know my son, he'll be 50 next year, and he's already concerned. You know, I don't know if I'll ever be able to retire, that type of a deal.
Well, and also the fact is that people are living longer now, too. When you were paying for that generation ahead of yours, people weren't living past 60. Now they're living to 90. So they're collecting more Social Security, they're on it longer, and more people are on it just in general.
One thing that also helped, I'm trying to think of the name, I think it's the Mathis theory, that one thing that governments have to do He was a, I think, a French philosopher for some time ago. One thing that people, societies have to do is they have to have wars. The reason for the wars is to kill off a lot of the young men so that the population stays down to where it needs to be. In my generation, we had guys my age and all getting killed in wars. So they weren't an issue, you know.
Yeah.
Population stayed down a little bit. They'd never collect Social Security because they'd be dead. Consequently, you know, we don't have, all we have are our volunteer soldiers anymore.
It's very interesting, and I thank you for calling in.
Sure.
And again, now Terry, based on that, what's your feeling?
Well, the feeling I have is that I'm still at the crossroads where he said that he hasn't used up all he's put in. I don't know. I mean, I know he must have started working, obviously, early. I mean, but I get those same papers that he's talking about. You know, it tells how much you'd be entitled to if and when you retire, or if you retire medically. And
I don't know how people live off of Social Security, for one thing.
Well, the numbers that they showed me, boy, was
low.
Yeah.
I mean, could you live off of it?
There's no way.
That's monthly, isn't it?
Yeah. There's no way.
It'd be very, very difficult.
Yeah.
We'll let people know about the big events coming up again.
Okay. First of all, this Thursday we're going to kick everything off with the 17th Annual Night of 1,000 Stars, Thursday, May 12, 2016, 7 o'clock p.m., Tri-Rivers Career Center, located at 2222 Marion Mount Gilead Road. The award recipient that night, the humanitarian award, we're going to give to the legendary pro wrestler Thunderbolt Patterson.
And that's going to be a tremendous fun, just a few short days away, folks, this coming Thursday. And we're so proud to be joined by the man who's going to be making his way to Marion here in just a few, 72 hours from now. Legendary, greatest talker in the history of pro wrestling, humanitarian award recipient Thursday night, and also special commissioner for the big wrestling event, Thunderbolt Patterson. Thunderbolt, how are you?
Very good, sir, and how are you?
Doing very well. Looking forward to Thursday night.
So am I. I'm very excited. Been a long time since I've been in that area, and I'm looking to have a real good time.
Now, Thunderbolt, one of the interesting things as we talk about this big wrestling event that's going to take place on Thursday night out at Tri-Rivers, and people can get their tickets again by calling 740-383-9944, $10 a seat. You will be the commissioner that night, and again, there are a lot of people there. What is your philosophy on rule breakers? Because in the wrestling business, there are those people who like to break the rules.
Say that one more time.
A lot of people in the wrestling business like to break the rules. With you as the commissioner, what will be your tolerance for these rule breakers?
What kind of tolerance do we have so far? Do you not think that we have a few things that went a little too far?
Well, that's my question. We have a man on the card. Well, first thing, we have three managers who will be...
Three managers. That's quite a bit, ain't it?
That is. What's your philosophy toward managers who sometimes like to get involved in matches?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, they have a job, but, I mean, they can go to the extreme, you know? I mean, we're not knocking anybody from having a job, but we do intend for them to go by the rules.
Now, another thing that's in question that night, we have a man who's coming in from Japan, the great Akuma, who will be Bobo Brazil Jr.'s appointment in the big main event championship match. Now, he's been known to take a shortcut here or there. What can you do as the commissioner to keep that title match on the level?
Well, that's a very, very good question. Nowadays, I mean, and somewhere along the line, we got to lay down the law. If it's wrong, it's wrong, you know? We have to call it like we see it. We hope that we don't have any problems, but if we do, we got to call them like we see them.
I asked you an interesting question last week, Thunderbolt, and as we get close to the event, I think it becomes more pertinent. Of course, you have retired from the ring, but if one of these guys gets out of hand, and comes toward you, what would happen to one of these gentlemen?
Well, I mean, that's, as the commissioner, they should not put their hands on me. And if they do, they will be, if I have any power, they will be disqualified and suspended.
And I think that's the way it should be. When we look at that night, your old pal Tony Atlas will be in action against one of our gentlemen here, the diet guru Slim Trimmons. Will it be fun to see Tony in action again?
Yes, I haven't seen Tony Ross in quite a while. As you know, I've been away from it for a long, long time, and looking forward to seeing Tony back in action and learning about some of those bad folks you talk about up there.
Well, that's what I think is going to make for a very interesting event, because Thunderbolt Patterson coming in, you know, has to lay down the law for a lot of these gentlemen who maybe have been getting away with things that they shouldn't have been getting away. And in your day, you knew a lot of rule breakers, Thunderbolt, and you handled them well in the ring.
Well, we have always done the best that we can, and we will continue to do that. And we'll just look for them to do the best that they can.
Terry, did you have a question for Thunderbolt?
Well, my question was that with all the action that's going to be taking place, and I know, you know, obviously you've been away from the sport for a long time, how are you going to keep a grasp on everything with so much action going on, you know, with just you, you know, just yourself in the
world? Is that for me?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we just had to react the way we, you know, you never can tell how a person's going to react, can you, until the time happens, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, are you going to have eyes in the back of your head? I mean, you know, and...
Pardon?
Will you have eyes in the back of your head that night, and, you know, just...
Well, no, that wouldn't be quite fair to anyone if it had them in the back of my head, and trying to call something that's, you know, for everybody, and trying to be fair, you know, you have to just call them as you see them.
Thunderbolt, a big question, interesting, and is going to be answered that night, is what will it like to be walking into an arena where wrestling's going on after so many years away from it?
Well, I imagine that it's just like riding a bicycle, you know? Once you learn how to ride, you always can keep on riding, but it's, you know, it's... You walk out of the big time and you walk into the small time, and we'll just see. You know, it's been don't too much ever change.
Well, and as I've been informed, you will have total control that night, as said by our commissioner, our chief of the board of directors, Sean Kraft, has said, full power will be laid with Thunderbolt Patterson.
You can't ask for any more than that. So we're just gonna try to abide by the rules and have some good old style wrestling.
Now, one thing I do want to talk about, and I think the fans are going to be excited about this, when Thunderbolt's there that night, you're going to start doing, and we've talked about this, and this will come to pass as that night goes on, your own interview segment, Thunderbolt, where you will have a guest on and you will talk to them about the wrestling business. Are you excited to do something like that?
I'm up for whatever's going on, you know. Like I say, it's been a pretty good little while, and I have no problem with whatever y'all have in mind up there.
I know I am excited to see Thunderbolt Patterson. The people are excited to see Thunderbolt Patterson, and as I say, the greatest talker in the history of professional wrestling this Thursday right here in Marion, May the 12th, 7 p.m. start time. He'll get the Humanitarian Award, and then we go into the big wrestling event at 8 o'clock, $10 a seat. Thunderbolt, I will see you Wednesday night as we head into Thursday.
And you have a very, very good evening.
Thank you, Thunderbolt.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I tell you, that new segment, Thunderbolt's Corner, is going to be something.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you'll want to get your ticket, 740-383-9944, here at the radio station, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., or get them at the door the night of the show. It's only $10. Thunderbolt Patterson, Mr. USA, Tony Atlas, performances by the Dance Factory, the Martha Dowse Dance Studio, the Lasekni Brothers. The whole thing will be going on Thursday night, Tri Rivers, 7 p.m. Don't miss it. Coming back right after this short break.
1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. Bob McGrath from Sesame Street. Bob.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood?
In your neighborhood.